welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Warrior Will.
On one side, I can kind of empathize regarding to the whole outcry regarding to the new Fae banner, but at the same time...
Oh, yeah! He just did that. Yep. Tell us, Tyler, save me from Will.
I mean, you know it's kind of bad if Will, like, even just slightly agrees with our take on the overwhelming Fates characters in Fire Emblem Heroes.
When
Will says that there might not need to be another Camilla, you know, okay, they really didn't need to have another Camilla.
Yeah.
But heck, I'm not complaining.
No, of course you're not complaining. Nobody would accuse you of complaining. We know you're right, but you at least empathize with our stance.
Great word used, Tyler. Empathize. All right, well, that will be one of the things to talk about later today, but we're going to get all started off with, what have you been playing? And I want to start off with Will, because he was late to the podcast because he saw a message from Tyler, and he wasn't even in the room, so do tell! Will, what were you doing leading up to the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast?
Oh, me? I was just kind of, like, pulling my bones, eating my dinner, and, I was also playing some Overwatch. Yes, because, as everyone knows, the current Chinese New Year event is currently happening right now, and I just got my Legendary, and the only thing I got so far is the Legendary Hanzo skin of Hang Zong, if you anybody who knows of the Romance of the Three Kingdoms or Dynasty Warriors. And right now I just want to go and get my Guan Yu skin. I want my God of War skin, dang it. And of course that Lu Bu skin for Reaper is also looking pretty nice. So yeah, Lu Bu, Guan Yu, and Zuge Liang. Ah, those Romance of the Three Kingdoms. I love it. But yeah, I've been basing on that, and again, so far no luck. But overall, I gotta say the events, the skins is like, again, it's Chinese New Year, I can't wait. And Chinese New Year is gonna be starting in like 2 weeks' time on, pretty much on February 4th. Yeah, around February 3rd and 4th. So can't wait for that. But also, naturally, the biggest title that I've been playing this past week is in the Travis Strikes again, No More Heroes. And just as a quick summary right now for anybody who knows, this title, it's, I can describe it the best way possible, fairly, it's basically an acquired taste. If you love Suda 51 games, you'll enjoy this. But as a newcomer, it's definitely going to feel odd, and there's definitely some obvious flaws. It's definitely not for everyone, but if you enjoy Suda 51 games, if you can get past the little gripes and basically the long treks, some of the levels just kind of go out and repetitive actions, you're going to find some good moments in this game. That's the best I can describe it. It's basically an acquired taste. It's basically like good old drinks and alcohol. Like it takes a while to get into it, but once you like really invest yourself in the universe, you can find out the great moments. And there's plenty of great moments, including like 4th wall breaking and so much reference to Star Wars. You have no idea.
Ah, the Force is strong with this one, I see.
It's true, because there is literally an ability you can actually force push and force lightning enemies. I am not kidding.
I believe you, it's Suda 51, so.
And I think there was a quote like, fear not the man who can reference 1,000 properties, but fear the man who can reference the property 1,000 times. And yeah, lightsabers, force powers, everything is like, yeah, if you love Star Wars, you're also going to love this game as well.
All right, how about you, Tyler?
I honestly have not ate a ton. I mean, I would say I'm still playing Smash, but I did get a couple of different games. I got Child of Light, which Ubisoft released a long time ago. On the Wii U, but I always wanted that game to come to Switch, and it did, and I didn't really notice that it did until I went to the eShop and I saw it there. So I picked that up, and I started to play that the other night. It's a cool art style, and it's an RPG. It's kind of simple, bare bones, but the atmosphere and the music are amazing. So I'm really enjoying that. I mean, I'm not going to say it's a super special must check out experience, but it's pretty cool. And I think that they said they're making a sequel, so keep an eye on that. And I also downloaded an indie game called Gris, because I saw it had really, really good reviews, and I actually saw Nintendo tweet about it, and that's how I got suckered into buying it. I shouldn't say suckered in. I really just started it. It didn't totally engross me right away. It's very artsy. As soon as you start it, it like this beautiful hand-drawn scene plays out. The whole thing is hand-drawn. And you pump it into the earth. And it definitely seems like it's another one of those kind of emotional journeys. Although the gameplay, I played it for like 20 minutes and I just felt like I was holding right and walking. So I wasn't super into that yet. But I'm gonna stick with it and give it a fair shake. But yeah, you know, two not Smash related this week, so that's good. I'm growing.
Mm-mm. And yeah, just as a related note for Smash, I take it you also tried the spirit events regarding to a Fire Emblem spirit. Yes.
You know, I really didn't. I don't think I've been to the spirit board in like 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, I think this past weekend there was a event for Fire Emblem Part 2.
And, there yeah, was.
There was like a couple of spirits like Sorin and Dragon King. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. I just the spirits like it was. It's cool and like. I probably like when I'm bored and if I'm only playing in handheld mode, I'll go to the spirit board and I think I'm glad it's there. But if I'm actually like if I have time to sit down and play, I'm not gonna. That's probably. So I'd rather do classic mode than that, to be honest.
Oh.
Well, I'm like Tyler here because I have been so busy the last week or so that I've only been able to play Smash Brothers and only with you guys. And I think I made it play like once on my own. And then I was obviously playing Heroes. But my big get this week was that I finally got my code for Piranha Plant. So after I was, ironically, it was after we did the podcast and I actually got a notification about it on something or whatever. And it's like, hey, you know, you got this long to register. And I'm like, ah, screw it. I'm just going to call them. So sure enough, I did. And I got a guy named Jared, very nice guy. And I want to praise Jared because not only did he use Nintendo references during our conversation. No, he did. He was like, he was looking up my my code name, and he goes, so that's let's see, M for Marcus, L for Luigi, and and I gave him tips on how to use the other letters for like, you know, F for Fox and all that, and he says he does this with all his customers, so I was grateful to that. And then he found out that I hadn't got my code, and so it probably got lost in the mail. It happens, and so he said, I'll get it to you. You'll have it by this Friday, and I got it this morning. And sure enough, it works. So I will have Piranha Plant whenever it arrives in February. If you didn't hear last week's podcast, which you should have, what's wrong with you? Go listen to it. So I just want to thank him because customer service is honestly a very thankless job because people usually call because they're angry at something or they just have a question that they just need answered and they're in a hurry. And, you know, Jared was very kind, courteous. He got the job done. He got it done quickly. And now I don't have to worry about Piranha Plant anymore. So. Yeah. Thank you, Jared, for your help. It's much appreciated.
That's one thing that I got to appreciate about Nintendo is regarding it to its customer service. Like, I remember actually a story back in college. Actually, my professor told me that like there was one time a kid had to send back one of his systems for repairs. Like he put stickers on it, and as you know, like Nintendo's like kind of like basically factory resets everything. But the nice thing about Nintendo is they actually kept the casing with the stickers and with the when they were doing repairs, so, and they sent it back to the kid. That's one thing I really like about Nintendo. Like they don't forget about the little guys, and like, yeah, they know like this thing is special for the guys, and yeah, that's they have heart. They have heart, to say the least.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. I've been reading this book kind of on and off. Probably for like 2 years, but it's called Console Wars and it's about Sega versus Nintendo in the 90s. And I think it's really interesting because back then, like Nintendo still had this charm that they do now, but they were really seen as like this cold, foreign company that nobody really, that just lacked warmth. And they were almost like the big bad. And I guess in some ways they still have kind of kept parts of that, but they've really shifted more towards. I guess being, at least their PR squad is really, really good at coming, like, at understanding each individual gamer's experience and, like, treating each thing that comes their way as a, you know, a critical experience for somebody else. It's very impressive.
Right. I mean, yeah, back when we were growing up, back in the early 90s, like, yeah, that whole split off between Nintendo and Sony, Well, and I mean Square Enix, yeah, Squaresoft back in the day because of that whole CD debacle back then, and that's when the Square split it, just part ways to partner up with Sony. Yeah, I remember that part. That's part of the story. But ever since then, yeah, it just kind of like went full circle. Now everybody's like now get that same sense of community. Now it's like there is no more barriers generally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just happy because I didn't want to miss out on Piranha Plant because of a technicality. So, although ironically, they now say that Piranha Plant will become paid DLC.
Of course.
Well, I mean, that wasn't how it was labeled before, but they are probably going to do it at a later time, so maybe April or something, I don't know. But I'm just glad because this character looks, you know, interesting.
I mean, I need to Piranha Plant. Add one out.
Yeah, and who wants to miss out on a character? I mean, I only didn't buy the DLC for Smash 4 because I honestly didn't really care at the time. But I'm gonna get all the Smash 5 characters because I want to. So, all right. So with that, we do have some light news, but you know, informative news. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. All right, gentlemen. Let's get right to it. Where is our Nintendo Direct?
Oh boy, here we go.
Will is just so patient. Like, he frowns upon our begging. But me and Todd, I think, are in full begging mode at this point.
I mean, I've been seeing on Twitter, I've been seeing on Facebook, on the social media, it's like, everybody's like, is the whole meme again. It's like, Nintendo announces something about an information about a new game. And immediately it says, where's my Nintendo Direct? Oh, any Nintendo Direct news? Where's my Nintendo Direct? All these meme images, like, direct. Like, jeez, no freaking ways, people.
Yeah, I personally prefer the Toy Story one. Look, Buzz, Nintendo Direct! Where? Ah! Oh, my gosh. So, yes, we are... Let's do this more officially. We are now in week 3 of January without a Nintendo Direct. This is a disturbing development. We are not sure why Nintendo has not revealed the Nintendo Direct to us. All we can do is wait and hope that a Nintendo Direct will come soon.
I have a feeling they're going to do a Nintendo move and announce at the end of the week or even at the last day, it feels like.
No, you know, here's what they'll do. They'll announce it on Tuesday for Friday. So it'll be like the first day of February. Just to tick people off. I was like, oh, you wanted it in January? It's February. Sorry.
Usually will like announce it on a Tuesday and do it on a Thursday, or announce it on a Monday and do it on a Wednesday.
They have
usually
that
one
yeah.
day in between.
Or if it's a mini, it'll be like the day before.
Yeah.
So. Now, I know what you're thinking, people. And trust me, I've heard it. In fact, right before this podcast, our own Koopa Keith was asking me, Todd, do they really need a Nintendo Direct during the month? And I'm like, yes, because it's not just about giving us information, it's about giving us scope and presence of mind of what is coming in 2019. Because again, the thing that really killed them in the first few months of 2018 was that we had no communication from them outside of their standard tweets. We can't have that for 2019. We need constant communication in it. And since we know that there are some really, really big games coming out this spring, like Yoshi's Crafted World, like Fire Emblem Three Houses, allegedly.
I'm sorry. There's some breaking news. We're going to Fire Emblem right now. And
I was going to save this.
What?
I'm currently looking at the popularity polls right now. The results currently right now, number one in popularity in the men's division right now, Alm takes the first
place. Stop. You're giving our listeners no context. If you didn't know... The third round of the Fire Emblem Choose Your Legends event has come. If you recall, this is where they have the special legends versions where they get like super armor and a different look and weapon, etc., etc. So you can go and vote right now. It's open for like the next 6 days or so. So and of course you can vote for men or the women or the lagus or whatever. And then the top four of each of them will get a new armor, new look, and be defined as a true legend.
I am so sad that Will said this because I was being so good at not saying it, and I was going to save it for the mobile segment.
Sorry, I stood on this. Sorry. But yeah, right. I'm looking at the results right now. Number two is Marf, and number three, surprisingly, Eliwood. That's number
Wait, hold on. Eight. Go back. Back up. Marth is in there?
Yes, but Marf.
Marth has already had a legend.
Well, apparently, I think I'm not sure which one
no,
is this
he,
one.
He's had a legendary hero, but he hasn't had a brave hero.
Brave hero.
Brave hero. Right. That's right. That's right.
And Tyler, I know you're kind of hoping for this one, but yeah, Krab is number four.
That's fine. I voted for Alm and Marth.
I voted for Alm and Sigurd.
There's been so many Kroms. I mean, I'll be happy if Krom wins because you know I'm a Krom fan.
And just round up the top
Alm
five.
And Marth are better.
And just round up the top five right now is Robin sitting in pretty at number five.
Yeah.
Can we talk about
Japan for a minute here? Number eight is that new character that's the fallen prince or a dead prince
Leaf.
Of King of Asker. Like,
no,
who
Zacharias?
Voted for that character? He
no,
has had
Leaf.
Two lines of dialogue. I hate that. That drives me crazy.
Leaf Thrasir is basically an old ending, yeah. And
wait,
yeah, I'm surprised Leaf.
Where are you guys seeing this poll? Is it on the Nintendo?
It's on Twitter.
It's on the Twitter site. It's currently the Japanese results right now. The Japanese translation, but yeah, Leaf. The new in book three is ranked number eight right now.
Hold on, I gotta see this for myself.
Also, bad news if you're a Ranul fan or if you are a Har fan, because those characters are 14th and 19th, which you're probably thinking, who cares? And you'd be right, but they always do that one like far fetched heroes banner where like they did Luch placed like 18th. So all the other characters have been in the game before that are higher or that are in that list. So those two characters might get saved for a banner in like November.
Yeah.
Right, right. And just also for the women's division, my girl Camilla's number one.
Of course.
Of course that. Number two is a Micaiah of Radiant. And number three, female Robin. Number four, Erica. And number five, female Corrin. So
I understand now why the hardcore Fire Emblem fans reacted so negatively to Fates. Like, I thought it was a really, really good game, but they were kind of right. Like, it's just, it's kind of ruined what the series was. Like, it's just kind of depressing to me.
In parts, I would agree with that. You know, like, everyone agrees that Conquest was one of the better ones is because of its brutal difficulty.
Yeah, it was the gameplay was amazing, but the stupid character, like, just Camilla was the worst character ever written, and it's just like, she's now, like, the face of Fire Emblem. It ruins, I mean, that takes away from what the series was. It was, I mean, believe it or not, there was a time where the female characters in Fire Emblem were popular because they were awesome, not because
like
they didn't wear any clothes. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Or like Charlotte, the gold digger who is barely winning anything. Yeah, I totally understand that. I mean, it's all about eye candy. I mean, not that we have a co-host here on the NEP who values such things.
Clearly not at all.
So, but yeah, it's. Let's just stick with this for now. Me and Tyler are writing a piece. It might be up tomorrow. It might be up on Saturday, or sorry, today on Friday when you're listening to this, or Saturday. But we're writing a piece on Fire Emblem heroes in the new banners, and we'll touch on this lightly because we don't want to go too into it. But we're not happy because it seems that they're more focused now on the quote unquote fan service / eye candy banners than they are about the new banners. Because if you recall last week's conversation, I was thrilled that we got the Lagoos banner, because we've been asking for this since basically day one, more or less, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Will, how many do you have?
Really?
Yeah. He's got two. To be fair, he does have two now. So and I am happy for you, Will. But I got four. Anyway.
Yes. Right now I'm currently trying to pull for blues right now. I'll settle for three out of four right now.
I'll be surprised if my queen goes to you, you know, because she's actually a woman of character and strength and not just eye candy. Moving on.
Actually, she's both. She's both.
She is stunning with having plenty of clothes on.
Hello. Cool. Have you not seen her legs?
I said plenty of clothes on.
Legs, hang on.
I mean, if you want to look at her legs, I prefer to look at her eye and her face and her beautiful tattoos on her arms, you know. And, but hey, if you're that kind of guy who just looks at legs, you know, I can't judge you too much. Moving on. Anyway, so we just got the Lagoos banner. We were all thrilled about that because Lagoos are freaking awesome. And then literally like 2 days after that, we find out that there is going to be a new banner called Hostile Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's basically Ryoma, Sakura, Hinoka, and Kamiya, all Fates characters, in outfits derived from being in a hot spring.
Japanese hot springs.
Japanese hot springs. I will grant you that.
I would say they're in bathtubs. That's pretty much just hot springs.
Okay, well, technically Ryoma is not. Ryoma has shorts on.
Yeah, sure.
That and he wears the traditional Japanese fudonshi.
There you go. I do appreciate that you know the official terminology for this, Will. I don't say that enough, but I do appreciate you knowing these things.
Heck, if you watch so much anime and Japanese culture, you pretty much know these things.
This is true. This is true. Okay, moving on. But me and Tyler, we're not happy about this. Not just because there's another Kamiya, who we'll get to her in a second. But do we really need this banner? I mean, are they so desperate for money and for attention that they had to have this banner instead of, bringing actual new characters into this game?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's just every single banner is like one of these, like...
Yeah, one out of every three received. Now. It used to be like one out of like six, and now it's one out of three. Because we just had the New Year's banner, which, you know, New Year's... I grant the holidays a pass, because at least that's consistent. But then we had like the Dreams one with Young Azura. Who wasn't even canon. I mean, Young Azura was not in Fates. Like, that's not canon. And it's just like, okay. And then we.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. The June Brides one, sure, whatever.
Way back.
Yeah, that's way back. And, some of the Christmas ones were kind of weird, but whatever. It's Christmas. But then we get like this one. We get the Beach one. And then we get this one. And again, why? I mean, for me as a story guy, now I know some people, and I wrote this in the article, some people are going to be listening to this and say, oh, Todd clearly didn't play Fates because he would have known that in the My Castle segment, there was a Hot Springs option. Dudes, I bought the special edition of Fates, okay? I spent the $80 to make sure I got all three games because I love Fire Emblem that much. I know there was a Hot Springs in there. Don't put the Hot Springs into Fire Emblem Heroes. We already have this abomination of a Hot Springs thing with the whole tap battle crap.
Tap battle's like the worst game.
I only do it for the orbs. I don't even play the music. I just tap it so I can get through the levels and get the orbs.
Yeah, that's what everybody does.
And every single time, except for like one, I believe, is, oh, look, the end is a hot springs. Fine, you want to put the
I
hot
think it's always
in
been.
There?
I don't even think there is a
hot, one.
Is
a hot
there,
springs,
there was one.
One is the ocean. One is the
yeah, one
the
was
ocean.
One was the ocean view. I remember that one specifically.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because I was like, oh, they actually changed
the same,
it up for once.
Same sort of deal.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. It's like, so that's fine, sure, context, whatever. But there is no chance, and this is a guy who appreciates character-driven stories more than anybody else, there is no chance in heck that Hinoka Sakura would be fighting in bath towels ever. Sakura is shy. She wouldn't even dream of it. She'd be running for cover. And though Hinoka is a proud warrior and she would probably do it in context, she would allow Ryoma to dive into battle so that she could go and get her actual lance. And actually, have armor to fight instead of being in a bath towel. Kamiya would do it because it's Kamiya. She'd probably find it hilarious. But it's like, why are they so bent on doing these kinds of banners, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think it's really just a kind of a rush to get money from the Fire Emblem fan. And I don't even want to call them Fire Emblem fans. Really, it's the fans fans of Eye Candy who found Fire Emblem as sort of this outlet for them, and they're probably the people who were spending money on the game. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about making money, from Nintendo's perspective, and I get it. It just, as a diehard Fire Emblem fan, it hurts to see that they've kind of thrown the fans of the actual Fire Emblem gameplay and Fire Emblem characters aside to kind of capitalize off of that market that I think really they're just not huge Fire Emblem fans in general. They're really in it for the character designs. And that's just, that's the sad thing, because that's kind of taking away what other people loved. And I never really understood why people were protective of their communities like that. Until now, I kind of get it. Like, I see why people were so anti-Awakening, even though that is one of that's perhaps my number one favorite Fire Emblem game. It is sort of the game that started this, And Fates really just kind of
took it
to that next level. And I just think at the end of the day, it's about getting money from that crowd who's still pumping money into the game.
The way I'm definitely seeing this, I mean, speaking as one who don't really mind the service, I mean, again, like in the beginning, I empathize with going through the whole outcry because we already have so many alternates of these fate units already. Like, how many Ryomas, how many Camillas, how many Hinokas? I mean, Hinoka's only like three units.
We have six Camillas now, and we're going to have seven after she wins the Choose Your Legends thing. And she has not been a legendary hero yet. So we're going to have eight probably by the end of the year.
And they'll find a way to. I mean, she hasn't been a bride yet.
I'm waiting for that one. I'm waiting for that one.
Find a way.
I love Will. Yeah. He's not.
Hello, I got wife Darge already. I'm waiting for that next one. But yes, the one. But I digress.
You are part of the problem, Will. I do kind of want
Bride Darge or Bride Camilla just because Will would be so happy. It would be worth it.
Either Bride Camilla or Bride Kagero, I'll be very happy. But regardless.
Why not both?
But yeah, back on topic. So yeah, we're going to intelligence system just want to like really like focus on like service banners for including the hot springs. Like it's definitely dead because one, unfortunately, as the old business practice goes, definitely sex appeal sells. And again, that's one thing that kind of helps in the Japanese market as well as here in the American market. Like it works, unfortunately. And yes, I understand like it's throwing away the whole like the more purest of Fire Emblem fans because of like, yeah, Fire Emblem is all about the story and driven characters and all that. Yes, that's pretty much what it was based and found upon. And now just like this new generation and clear, like if you want to just call these like trash of an audience or trash of just going for the TNA, I mean like again that's kind of like that divide in the fan base. Like there's one part that's brought by the new games like myself with Awakening and Fates, while other people just grew up with the Radiant Dawn and the original Gaiden games. It's like, and regard to the money practices, unfortunately, that's kind of one thing. Yeah, it definitely is underhanded to say the least, because like, yeah, you're just going for the ones that we love the service. But and just throwing away the true fans, but at the same time, that's kind of like what they had to have, because kind of what Fire Emblem Heroes originally were kind of like was pushed upon. Because again, back when it first came open, we got Lin, we got Camilla as like the opening summoning circles. So,
yeah, but I mean, they're main characters. I think Fire Emblem Heroes was really all about bringing characters together, and Lin and Camilla are both. I mean, they're obviously important Fire Emblem characters. I mean, Lin's not fan servicey. Like they've kind of tried to
not much,
turn
not,
her into
not
that.
To the extent. Yeah, not to the extent. Yes, yeah.
But I mean, I see what you're saying. It definitely Fire Emblem Heroes is sort of an opportunity for them to have to appeal to that market. I mean, it's a mobile game; it's casual by nature. Mm-hmm. So I hear that and I understand that point. Just at the same time, it's a brand. You know, Fire Emblem is a brand, and the brand it has changed to such a degree that it's hardly recognizable from what used to be and from what so many people loved. And it's kind of, it's becoming something totally different. And it's something that people like me are just, you know, we feel kind of left out in the cold given the dedication to the series and the passion we have for it. I mean, I would say Fire Emblem is right there with Smash Bros, maybe even more impactful in my life just from the experience I had from playing that game, the friends I've made through the community. I mean, that's had a huge impact on me, and it is frustrating to see that Intelligent Systems and Nintendo are kind of just saying, you know what, though? This game is just about characters with, how do I put it, gently?
Assets.
And that's it. You look at the number of females to males in these fan service banners. It's staggering. I can't give you a number right off the top of my head. I'll have to check it out.
You'd be surprised. There's
so many females in these banners. And you know, you, I mean, they're not trying to be coy about who they're appealing to.
Right. But again, it's not just also the famous as well. I mean, with this recent battle, again, Ryoma Inafudonshi is like, holy moly.
Yeah, it's one character out of, they have Also, I do think, oh, just a sidebar, I think it's gross that they have Elise in there. And I just, it's
oh,
just...
I forgot about Elise. I mean, yeah. These are underage kids.
Yeah, Elise is, she, I mean, she, okay, so she's not technically, but she is. Like, and that's a weird thing in Fates. One of the weird things in Fates is, like, Elise is your little sister, and she comes across as, like, a 7-year-old. But they're like, you are of age, technically, Elise. That way, you know, players can still marry her.
Well,
it's kind of gross.
In the Western side of things, sure. But as well at the Eastern side of things, because again, people love their unfortunate little set of types, unfortunately. And I mean,
think
that's
so gross.
It's kind of the weird thing regarding to that market on the Japanese side of things.
No,
I mean,
you're right.
Sister,
I mean, it's a cultural
fist,
thing.
The little
it is
the
cultural.
Little type, but again, that's it. Also works. I mean, it's just kind of the little sister part. Like, obviously, when you play through the Fates or even the Awakening types, like there's just that part. There is that audience that says, like, I'm gonna protect the system no matter what. And, like, yeah, that could seem a little disturbing here on the Western side of things, but again, that's kind of the market here, so I don't know.
It's not like I have to protect the sister is disturbing. The disturbing part is I want to see the sister in a bath towel. That's the disturbing part.
That is questionable. Yeah, no, no doubt about that. It is questionable.
What it all boils down to is, what is the purpose of Fire Emblem Heroes? Because clearly at the beginning, it was about embracing the heritage and legacy
right.
of this series and bringing in as many characters as possible. And then it slowly turned into fan service. And no, think about it. I mean, how long it took us to get the freaking Lagoos. I mean, and they don't play differently than the other characters, so what was their delay?
Right. It's just about been 3 years since we got the Lagoos. I agree. But so. Because I was about to interject, basically, because, like, yeah, it is, as you said, it's a basic celebration of all things Fire Emblem. And, like, tell your system, why are you not adding all other characters into this game, like from Radiant or Radiant Dawn and all those other classic games, sure. And I was about to say, because also, like, in Fire Emblem Heroes, they're also trying to tell their own original story. I mean, again, we've already done with two books already. Now we're going to book three with this new, what was it? The old, yeah, Norse-based theme?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. More Norse-based. We're going to Odin and then Death and all that hell. So it is also kind of also trying to balance it from what I'm seeing. Like, they're trying to tell their own story while also trying to celebrate all things Fire Emblem, but as well with going to that whole this banner of, like, the whole service is, yeah. I mean, again, that's kind of like what the prologue story is. Like, yeah, there's the main story, the prologue, and everything of that sort. But again, it seems like IntelliSense is trying to maintain that balance, but yeah, it definitely is steadily steering towards the service.
Yeah, I don't feel like they're really trying to maintain the balance. Like, I think it's optimistic to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I appreciate that part of Will. But to me, I think that they are, and I said it, I mean, I'm just reiterating my point. They're not interested in the balance at this point. They're like, okay, this game's been out for 3 years. We're running out of creative gameplay ideas. How do we get people to continue to buy orbs? And at the end of the day, they're like, look at how well these banners do. And I'm sure that they do super duper well with a lot of people who just have, they got money in their pocket and they're more than willing to throw it away so they can get to see the piece of art on their screen. Also, there's probably addicted to gambling. But
Japan.
There's also possibility to that. There's possibility to that. Yes.
that's really where that's what it's become. And even, like, you look at the occasions where they actually do give us cool characters like the Lagoos, I don't feel like they put as much effort into making those characters feel special. Like, I was really disappointed by the Forging Bonds event with the Lagoos. I found that their dialogue was really just very surface level, very generic. And it felt like, okay, this isn't what Raisin is like. This isn't what Leanne's like. Leanne was kind of good.
Well, Leanne had a cop out because she doesn't talk in Path of Radiance, and then when she talks to Radiant Dawn, it's very small. So they could literally have done anything that they wanted. So
they
she
was so babbly, and, like, she's so strong in Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn. Like, it wasn't terrible for her because she doesn't talk, but she felt like this helpless, defenseless little bird, and she's not that character. She is extremely strong, super strong-willed in those other games. Okay. And I actually didn't even finish Tibbarns. He's, like, my favorite character, and I was like,
yeah.
I got my orbs from this event.
Oh,
I'm
Tibbarns' story is pretty good.
No, Tibbarn was honestly really good because he talked about how because his His summoning was clearly after the events of Radiant Dawn, because he talks about how Nassala betrayed him and how he lost his country and that he wouldn't do anything to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to impart that wisdom unto Alphonse. So yeah, that one was honestly really good. So.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, yeah, Tibarn's a great character, so I'm glad.
Oh yeah, Tibarn and Nassala are amazing. So all right, but let's move on. So yeah, Nintendo Direct. Yeah. we definitely need that.
Right.
So yeah, that's how this all started. But yeah, we need a Nintendo Direct, and I'm looking forward to talking about the poll later on. So the other big piece of news was we got, I would say, 95% of the information we wanted from the NPD results. Because for as wrong as it sounds, we don't know still worldwide how much the Switch sold, both in December and where we're at overall. But we do know where we're at with the United States. So according to the NPD, the Switch sold 5.6 million units in the United States last year. Incredible amount. And currently, we are at 10.5 million units total, which actually means that the Switch sold more this year than last year.
Oh.
Wow, so, that's impressive. Smash.
Yeah, exactly, and Smash apparently was, and according to this, it said that the Switch sold more in December than the PS4 and Xbox combined.
Wow.
That's just in the U.S. We're not talking about Japan, the U.K., or Europe, and all of that. And then, according to this, when comparing the launches of the Switch, the PS4, and the Xbox One, the Switch is 22% higher than where the PS4 was at this point in time, and 34% higher than where the Xbox One was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And I believe, like, yeah, Smash was also like the best-selling console exclusive, aside from like Halo, which held the title previously.
It's all about context, but in the context of their first month of sales, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is now the best-selling console exclusive game of all time. So yeah, go Smash Bros.
It just kind of shows that, like, as long as you got Nintendo really betted on this thing and it really paid off, that Smash Bros. Ultimate really just helped push the Nintendo throughout to the end of the year, and just like seeing the numbers, that kind of proves that even though they had a horrible first half, yeah, shows that all you just really need is one good game, apparently, for Nintendo.
And to think. to think Reggie was worried about how much it would sell.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, because he's like, you know, Nintendo, December is kind of a hard month to sell at. And no, clearly not. So, here, I'm looking this up right now. So, according to this, in all of 2018, Smash Brothers was the fifth best-selling game in the U.S. Fifth. Now, it's important to say U.S. because under Smash Brothers is Marvel's Spider-Man, which we already know has sold over 9 million units worldwide. So, again, this is only U.S. numbers. But still, the fact that it sold more in the U.S. than Spider-Man, which is an American property.
Yeah, really.
Just goes to show. And technically, by the laws of third-party games, Spider-Man could come to Smash Brothers. True.
Off topic, but did you guys see Into the Spurs? I highly recommend it if people have it. It's super good.
I still have it. I'm going to see if I can see it this weekend because they're supposed to get like a snowstorm or something, and I'd rather just do something fun. And then I'll literally go from watching the Spider-Verse to watching the Royal Rumble. So so it's going to be a fun weekend for me. But I want to see every single person I have talked to, except maybe two, has said that it's an amazing Spider-Man movie. And I'm always up for good Spider-Man movies. So.
Yeah, I'm a big Spider-Man guy. And I do think that this one was among the very best. It was phenomenal. I did think, I'm sorry, Todd, I know you're a big DC guy. I felt like after watching Spider-Man, because I enjoyed Aquaman, I walked away thinking, man, the bar is really low for DC movies. Like, I thought Aquaman was really, really good after I watched it. But then I was like, Spider-Man was like 15 times better. And yet I was like, well, Aquaman really surpassed my expectations.
Well, it's all about context. I mean, okay, let's just go ahead and do this. So We are now the comics entertainment
we
podcast.
We are all it's
oh,
entertainment boy. People. We are
we are the entertainment podcast.
And sometimes Nintendo podcast.
No,
we entertain.
This is actually we can tie this back to video games. So here's the thing. I loved Aquaman. I have very little doubt that if I go and see Into the Spider-Verse, I'm going to think it's an amazing film. But then that's where I have to stop the comparison. Because if I compared Spider-Verse to Aquaman, I'm doing a disservice to both of them. Because Aquaman was obviously a solo film. It was about Aquaman and his struggles. Versus Spider-Verse, which is, and no spoilers, Tyler, because I haven't seen it, but like a bunch of Spider-Men and women coming together to stop the Kingpin from destroying the multiverse. And that right there creates an entirely different dynamic. Just like I wouldn't compare the Avengers to, I don't know, Doctor Strange. Because that's not fair.
Right.
That's one character with one problem that he's trying to solve, or she's trying to solve, in case Captain Marvel, versus a team trying to put their own dynamics together to solve another problem. So if you think that Spider-Verse is better than Aquaman, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. I might be coming out and saying the same thing. It's not a problem. It's just the problem I have is that, you know, people always say, oh, Spider-Man is vastly superior because of this, and this, and I'm like, well, that's fine.
They're different movies.
They're different movies.
I see what you're saying. And I did really enjoy Aquaman. It's not a knock on it. No. I felt like the storytelling, like Aquaman, was a really fun movie. Like I think that's a great date night movie for sure. In terms of story,
it's a date night movie. Why is that? Look at Aquaman.
We get Mira. Mira was beautiful.
Oh, Amber Heard, stunning. And hey, Nicole Kidman, dang.
Nicole Kidman was a surprisingly good character.
Exactly.
But anyway,
she was great. Yeah.
The Spider-Man movie, and you'll have to say it for yourself, the way that they were able to kind of touch, I mean, they didn't do a perfect job of it. I mean, there are definitely flaws, but most of the characters really had a fleshed out arc, and it was impressive that they were able to do that. It's the same thing with a lot of the Avengers movies. Like, wow, how did Infinity War have an amazing arc for Tony Stark and for Spider-Man and for Steve Rogers? Like,
he didn't have an arc. Come on.
And okay, Thor had a great
better
arc. You could tell I was kind of trying to think through it. I was like, well, Steve Rogers, he's an Avenger, but you're right, he didn't have a great arc in but anyway,
Black Panther,
Thor had a great
Black Widow,
Groot,
the Guardians of the Galaxy,
right? Rocket had a great arc. I mean, like, how did they do that? And it was a long movie, but every character pretty much was like, wow, that character had a fulfilling arc that at the end
great.
I'm like, wow, that I'm so satisfied. But Yeah, Spider-Verse is similar in that way. Very, very good. So watch it.
But to tie it back to video games, it's just like people saying, you know, oh, I love Super Smash Brothers, and yet, you know, I play Spider-Man, and it's I like it for a different reason. That's the whole point. These are different genres of games appealing to different kinds of gamers. If I had a PS4, I would totally play Spider-Man. Because I hear it's great stuff and it looks amazing, but I'm also can totally pull out my Switch and enjoy playing Smash Brother for hours on end, even when I'm losing to Tyler repeatedly. So, and Will too, I suppose. So the point is here is that whether it's DC, Marvel, Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, you know, comparisons are fine. Don't push it.
Yeah,
we can
yeah,
all
just
enjoy these games.
Each thing for what they are.
We can say a game is better than one another and mean it in a certain way, but don't diss the other game because you think, oh, this is the end-all, be-all game. Because you're going to find someone who doesn't agree with you, and then you're either going to get into a fight or you're not going to talk to them again. Will. that was pointless. I didn't mean that, Will. Maybe. But, so... Don't push. And we're a Nintendo podcast, but we love other games. I mean, Will loves Overwatch. He loves Yakuza. I love Kingdom Hearts. It's literally breaking my heart to see all these Kingdom Hearts reviews and knowing that I can't play it next week. Yeah, I know. I honestly went onto Facebook and said, who's willing to give me a PS4 so I can play Kingdom Hearts? I got responses, just not the ones I wanted.
Yeah, like I'm just waiting for my copy coming in the next week. I can't wait.
yeah. Just no spoilers. Anyway, but no, it's like Smash Brothers has done amazing. The Switch has clearly done well. There's literally stats for days on like apparently the Switch sold 18% more than it did last year at December, which was saying something because it had a pretty big December because of, you know, Xenoblade and Mario and all of them. And then Nintendo was the top publisher of 2018. It was the best selling console in the US in 2019. The last time Nintendo was number one like this was in 2009.
Wow.
Nine.
Whoa.
Think
that's,
about that.
That's like Brawl days.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, that was at the peak of the Wii. And I mean, yeah, so. Whew. So, again, great job, Nintendo. Hopefully, we will have they have got to be over 25 million. I mean, the numbers I'm seeing, they have to be over 25 million, but no one's telling us anything. I mean, like, what is going on here?
Find out soon, because March is just around the corner, and that's when they have to do their big shareholders briefing. So
they usually do it, like, every 3 months, which is why it's mind-boggling that it took us to the end of January to get to the, you know, December numbers. And
that probably means they're not going to reach their target.
Probably not.
I would imagine that's why they don't want to get the negative press out there. Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it is when they arrive.
I also want to note that in the top 20 for the U.S., Super Mario Party was number 19 of the top 20 games. Think about that. I mean, I know there's a lot of, you know, and that's not including the digital numbers. None of the Nintendo games had their digital numbers attached. So it technically did better than, a lot of other games. also, this is I really appreciate this. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is now the second best-selling racing title across all platforms.
Gran Turismo?
No. Gosh, no.
Second to Mario Kart Wii.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, go Deluxe, and can you imagine what's going to happen when Mario Kart 9 comes out? Oh, yeah. All right, let's move on to the Indie Games Showcase. Oh, we're sorry, we had a Nintendo Indie Highlights. So they had a nice little ditty about this, and no, this does not count as Nintendo Direct. It's totally different things. We had 9 games either announced for release dates, coming soon, or out now. So we got Wargroove, which is basically a version of Advance Heroes, but with, you know, Fantasy VII, and a freaking awesome anime trailer.
Yes.
Okay, that trailer was freaking anime, and I loved it.
I'm going to be reviewing that game.
Yes, he is.
I'm very excited because it looks super good. I remember when I think they showed that before this one.
Yeah.
And it looked great.
Yeah. So, and I like that you'll be able to not only play as 4 different races, but you'll actually be able to make your own levels and storylines. I'm not sure how that works, but okay.
Yeah, I'm excited to find out. I will let you guys know.
It's coming out February 1st. So, here's one that I honestly think is one of the most original things I've ever seen. Double Kick Heroes. This is a rhythmic shooter set in a post-apocalyptic world where you are playing metal songs to kill bad guys while driving a car.
Yeah, I'm seeing the trailer right now. It's like, yeah, very Mad Max in a way.
Oh, yeah. It's Mad Max meets Guitar Hero. Meets like old school shooters, and there are 30 original metal songs plus some classic metal songs for you to play as. So yeah, this is it's very original.
Yeah,
it's coming first to the Nintendo Switch later this year. Have you guys ever played the Bridge Constructor series?
No.
Okay. Well, there is a game very similar to that called When Ski Lifts Go Wrong. Yeah, exactly. Basically, it's a physics-based puzzle game where you are running a, let's call it a ski resort of sorts, and you're trying to help people get to their vacation spots or building up ramps so they can go skiing or snowboarding.
Okay.
And you're trying to keep them, quote-unquote, alive, you know, because people complain. And it's basically look it up. It's one of those silly games where it's fun to try and build the stuff up. But if you play like Bridge Constructor or Portal Constructor or whatever, it's that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Next up was Forager. a 2D open world title where you're literally start in the middle of a map with nothing, and then, not unlike Minecraft, start to get supplies so you can go and make things, expand your world, fight a lot of enemies, and apparently build the world, but not in a Minecraft way, like, you know, building blocks, but like actually building areas. It was kind of loose in the trailer, but okay. So, honestly, I actually think, Will, you would like this game. This seems like a game you would like.
Yeah, it's like, I'm seeing the trailer right now. It's basically like, there is like that crafting, also growing up your stuff, the trees. I also have a sense of like Binding of Isaac in a way as well, arcade style.
I don't know, but it looks interesting, that's for sure. And then, as if we didn't have enough insanity on the Switch, Goat Simulator, the Goatee. I know this game. I've written about this game. I've talked about this game. This is a stupid game. And yet it sells. It sells, and it's wrong that it sells, but it does.
Well, look, as far as Ty always said, he wants to make a GOAT game, so we have a little GOAT game on the Switch now.
There you go. No, Tyler? No response to that?
No, okay, I'm still kind of scratching my head as to why they felt the need to go for that pun, but I do appreciate it on some level. I think I hate it, but at somewhere deep in me, I'm okay with the Goatee.
Uh-huh. Anyway, but for those who don't know, it's basically a game where you can play as a goat among other creatures and do just about anything you want, and the Goatee, which is their pun on the Game of the Year edition, has all the DLC from the game beforehand, all in one. And this apparently does include a Star Wars DLC pack where you can pilot a TIE fighter and an X-Wing, and yeah, it's something, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see. It's actually out right now. So if you want to do that, go ahead. All right, now here's one that I'm honestly excited about. It's called Inmost.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it is a word. It's a puzzle platforming game where you control three different characters in a store in an atmospheric story that is all connected, but you don't know how. And these characters play very differently. You got like a typical sort of ninja. You got a child. You got a guy who's just trying to get away from a monster, and more. And it looks beautiful. It's like one of those kinds of games where the graphic, like, it's like a Hollow Knight or a Hyperlight Drifter or something like that. Or Rain World. Yeah, Rain World. That's what it was reminding me of. It looks really good, and I'm very curious about this one. It's coming out later this year, and it's coming first to the Nintendo Switch. A lot of these games are like Nintendo first titles, which makes me really, really happy. So, next up, we got Unruly Heroes. No, not talking about us. We're talking about a game. It's basically an action platforming adventure where you can play as one of four very unique, very powerful heroes, and you can go and fight enemies, or you can go like original Super Mario Brothers and like fight each other in a fun title. So definitely check that out. It's out right now on Nintendo Switch. So
Yeah, basically it's like the Journey of the West, but with like a Rayman twist on it. Yeah, like it's really like Rayman-esque.
Then there's CrossCode, which I found out today was already out on other systems, but it's a top-down 2D sci-fi fast-paced action-packed title. I'm not saying that again. It's got a deep story and world, plenty of characters, really, really fast combat. Like, it's really quick and really, like, anime sparkly. So, you know, Dragon Ball. It's coming to Nintendo Switch this year, and it's going to have a bunch of exclusive content to it. So if you have not played this game, you'll be able to play it with fresh eyes and a whole bunch of content, and I will be reviewing this game should we get the code. And then finally, if you are a fan of the SteamWorld Dig games, we have a new game from Image and Form called SteamWorld Quest, a card-based RPG that'll have you going through SteamWorld on an adventure to battle enemies, get new cards, build your own deck, build up your own party, and just have a lot of fun in an entirely new way. So it's going to be releasing first on Switch later this year.
That's kind of the strange thing about this. Like, this is the second Nini's Direct just held in Europe, and nothing here on the West side. It's, I don't know. Is it Nintendo's kind of deal to like just show off Nini's in the European instead of here in the West? I don't know. It feels kind of strange. This is the second time they did this now.
Yeah, did they just like Nintendo Europe like, but we want to have something cool, and they're like, okay, well, you get the Nindies showcase.
Well, if you recall the last time they take it. If you recall the last time they did this, they honestly did a Nindie highlights, and then like a few days later, they did the Nindie showcase, like a full-on Nindie showcase. It was really weird. But whether they do that again or not, I don't know. We'll just have to see. But I'm excited. I'm just glad that they are still focusing on the indie games. And because right now, that's kind of all we have in 2019 outside of Travis Strikes Again and Mario Brothers U Deluxe. So, hey, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Okay, let's see. I'll talk about this quick, Will. A new opening cutscene for Travis Strikes Again came out, and it connected another Suda 51 game. So briefly, emphasis on briefly, talk about that, Will.
Okay, I was like very wondering why the game updated when I was playing it in work this morning, but yeah, Grasshopper Studios updated the game and basically shows it connected Dan of Killer7 to the No More Heroes universe. Like, basically show off Dan of Killer7 going up to basically gonna kill Batman, but decide to help Batman to try to find Travis Touchdown. Like, oh, there he is, just 2 seconds. And yeah, the guy you're looking for is in Texas, in the middle of nowhere, Texas. And now, yeah, give death ball to Batman, and yeah, it just kind of shows, like, it's just, wow, Killer7 is connected to the universe of No More Heroes, and it's like, it just opens so much possibility. We know Suda51's, like, Suda fans know that Suda51 is a crazy, crazy guy. And this just kind of, like, makes everything together even more crazy. Because, just a, like, kind of brief spoilers, there, he does reference so many games, other prior titles in this game. Is like, it's crazy. And, yeah, like, if anybody here has heard of a game called Shadows of the Damned, there is a straight level, straight referencing from that game in Travis Strikes Again. But that opening is like, if you love Suda51, you love Killer7, this is like, whoa, dude, it's like, whoa. I mean, that's pretty much what I would just describe it, because, like, again, Killer7 is like the first game, was, I think it was, yeah, originally released on the GameCube days, and
it was,
like, it was just such a, yeah, and it was just like such a fresh title that no one expected. It was like, it's definitely weird, but it's so fresh in the age of like gray shooters and all that, so. One connecting this game is like, wow, Suda, you mad lad.
Yeah, I read about this because I've never played No More Heroes, and so but I know about Killer7 and the Heroes games because of various sources and whatnot. So finding out that these are connected is actually really cool, because Killer7 was very much a cult classic game. I mean, it had gameplay issues galore, but it was a fun story, and the idea of transforming into all these different characters was very appealing to players at the time. And of course, it's Suda51, so you know it was, you know, over the top insane. But just finding out these connected was actually really funny. And you know Suda's got something planned for that. I mean, he would not just do this, especially as post-launch content. And then
right.
Just leave. So you know he's got something planned.
Right, right. And there's still two more levels. We're going to the DLC with Shinobu and Bad Girl. And it's just, holy moly, how many, so many hints of possible sequels. I mean, Shadow of the Damned is possibly getting a sequel, or maybe even that one mini game that hinted Devolver Digital, maybe buying the rights. Is like, Suda51, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to give the fans hope of possible sequels that may not be existing? I mean, heck, I love Killer is Dead. I love also the other games, like even the 25th Ward. I haven't played that game, but I've heard great things about it. Like, Suda51, what are you doing, man? I mean, I know you're an Undertaker previously, but what are you doing?
Wait, he was an Undertaker?
Yes, legitly, he was, prior to his job as a game designer, he was legit worked as an Undertaker.
Dang.
No lie.
No, it's not unheard of. Angelina Jolie wanted to be an Undertaker, and she almost was. She had trained for it, and then she got an acting role, and we all know what happened there.
I don't know which actors and game developers were Undertakers. That is a fascinating bit of knowledge.
Not really. It's honestly like when TV Guide was a thing, you know, like when they actually had like the scrolling marquee bar of all the shows, like I would watch it because I was trying to look for a channel, and so they had like these celebrity spotlight things, and of course one of them was about Angelina Jolie because this was like the peak of her popularity and whatnot, and they talked about, before she went to acting, she wanted to be like an Undertaker because she really was fascinated with death because of course she was.
Mm.
Anyway, trust me. Now, if you ask my dad will just waste time on the internet looking up celebrity stories, and I'm like, why are you looking that up? Oh, I'm bored. Makes me weep. Anyway, but we're gonna stop there because I want to get to our final topic for the night because we're already going pretty late as it is. One thing we didn't Tyler noted that in our Nintendo Draft, one of the things we didn't talk about was the Nintendo Mobile Initiative. And there's a very good reason for that, because we've gotten a lot of promises in the last year, literally, and yet we've had literally no fruition of it. But with a new year and new hopes, we're going to start looking at what we think could come from the Mobile Initiative, and of course that also relates to Fire Emblem Heroes. Well, we'll touch on it lightly, Will, so don't worry. So let's talk about this in a Nintendo discussion. All right, Tyler, this was your topic, so why don't you lead this off?
First of all, it has been a while since we had a Nintendo discussion, so I am...
Really?
I feel like it's been a while.
Hmm. Hmm.
And we have discussions, but like sometimes we look to the future. We got our secret society meetings, a little Nintendo discussion to mix things up. That's I like it. No, I thought that one of the interesting things from our annual Nintendo draft that you should check out if you haven't already. I think, how many episodes ago? Two episodes ago?
Two or three.
None of us said that one of the big keys for Nintendo in 2019 was to have a strong showing on mobile devices. And I don't know if that's just because we play Fire Emblem Heroes and we're fatigued from it or what. But
I'm not.
Will's not. But I think it would be it's interesting to kind of dive in to see what we hope to see from Nintendo in 2019, what we expect to see. I mean, Mario Kart Tour is obviously the big one. Do you guys expect to see Mario Kart Tour be as the only big release in 2019? I guess last year had Animal Crossing Pocket Camp.
No,
and
it did.
Dragalia.
No, Dragalia Lost was the only quote unquote main title.
Oh my gosh,
Camp,
you're right. Animal Crossing was 2 years ago. That feels like yesterday.
No, it was 2017.
Yeah, you're right. It was. It was 2017. Anyway, that aside, do you expect to see Mario Kart Tour as the only big Nintendo mobile game, or are you looking to see something more?
It definitely feels that Nintendo's gonna go for a yearly mobile release thing. It seems that way. I mean, first we had Miitomo, and then Fire Emblem Heroes, but actually Super Mario Run, and then Fire Emblem Heroes now, and Animal Pocket Crossing. They seem to be doing this like a yearly thing now. So I definitely expect Nintendo to do something on the mobile front. No doubt about that. If it's regards to that Mario game racing mobile game, I think that maybe is a good possibility. I mean, I hope so. If not that, then perhaps another IP. I mean, I'd be very happy if they bring back F-Zero as a mobile game. I don't care anymore now. So, I don't know. It's definitely a good possibility.
It all depends on when it's released. Because this game has been, I guess, in the works for a long time now. Because, I mean, we had Mario Kart Tour announced, I don't even remember when, in 2018, but it was definitely before E3.
Yes, and it was early in 2018. I think I remember believing that it was going to be a 2018 release.
Yeah. So if heaven bless us, or sorry, the RNG gods bless us, just like they blessed Will in the Lagoose banner.
Zip it!
If the RNG gods bless us and we get a Nintendo Direct, let's just say next Thursday, okay? And they revealed that Mario Kart Tour is coming out, let's just say February, that way it doesn't interfere with the launch of Yoshi's Crafted World and such. Then I would say we're definitely getting another game this year, because they'll, after basically striking out with the first party ones, Dragalia Lost was not made by Nintendo, but it was published by Nintendo. If they'll want to double down, because Reggie said after Animal Crossing that the goal was to do two games a year. Clearly that didn't happen. So maybe they were skipping last year to start building up or whatever. So I would expect the next Nintendo Direct to not only reveal Mario Kart Tour, but also talk about maybe the Star Fox Grand Prix one that we saw, or whatever other games, sorry, that they are thinking about, considering, whatever. But they have to do it. They have to if they are serious about continuing this, and again, all the faults of Fire Emblem Heroes aside, it's the best going. It's the most consistent in money makers, and they know that they can do well in the mobile initiative. And again, this is one of their lesser platforms, their lesser franchises in terms of rankings. Because I would put both Animal Crossing and Mario above Fire Emblem in terms of popularity.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
I mean, Animal Crossing really just didn't take off because of the way, I mean, it basically was Animal Crossing super light, and there was no real in-game purchases to really do. So I think it's that game didn't really pull in a ton of money, just given the way it's structured. I don't think Animal Crossing was a great fit for mobile. Whereas Fire Emblem, absolutely. Heroes' original concept was brilliant. It was perfect for mobile.
So it's just, it's going to depend if Mario Kart Tour is indeed the next one that is coming out, which we all think it is. It's got to come out by no later than the end of March. I truly believe that, because if it doesn't and it's like later this year, then what the heck have they been working on this whole time?
Right. Well, they're not going to want to release Mario Kart 4 in September and then hit you with another game in November.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to want Mario Kart Tour to have its breathing room. That's going to probably be really big, depending on how they structure it, of course. I don't really think that a lot of Nintendo franchises totally fit on mobile, and I don't really think Mario Kart fits. I could see it being adequate, but the joy of Mario Kart is just how well the game controls. And it's got to be. I mean, it's going to be hard to control your kart like that on a mobile device. Now, Nintendo could surprise me. They're pretty good at making their control schemes work. But I honestly, I'm a little nervous about Mario Kart Tour, and I almost wish that it wasn't the only mobile game that we knew of. I would almost prefer them to go the route of Dragalia and come out with different IP, new IP, to make their splash in the mobile space. Now, of course, they're going to use Mario's name, because you know that's going to make them a ton of money. In terms of quality, I'm very curious to see how they're going to pull it off.
All I know is that they need to have something come out soon. If they're serious about continuing the initiative, which they seem like they are. If they are, then they need to reveal something soon. They have to reveal either Mario Kart Tour or Star Fox Grand Prix, mm-hmm. or whatever. One of them has to be. Yeah, that's just the bottom line for me.
This just kind of hit me. What would you think about a Metroid, like a Metroid pinball experience? I'm trying to think of a creative way to kind of have it go beyond just your standard Samus and a Morph Ball and you're playing pinball. But I could see that being an interesting mobile concept. I'm not sure how they would, you know, profit off of it. I'm not sure what the system would be. I don't know if you'd get a 99-cent download would be a great, you know, money-making machine for them. I would doubt it.
I could see that being something
simple that works.
It definitely seems something like that. I mean, yeah, like something of that sort, like an off-brand idea, like such as a Metroid pinball, or I don't know, like, yeah, or F-Zero RPG or something of that sort. I don't know. It's definitely. I get a feeling that, yeah, Nintendo's gonna make another like gacha game with their Nintendo IPs. I feel like they're gonna maybe could try to do another one-off mobile flat price title like with the Mario Go. Just pay one price and then that's the entire game. So I don't know. I have a feeling that Nintendo's gonna try to attempt it one more time. Feels like.
I don't know. There's so much that they could do. I mean, that's the thing, is like, obviously, like, I'm with Tyler, not everything can work in a mobile setting, as Mario of all things proved. They totally messed up that one, but they know now that if they do things the right way, and as much as, you know, Animal Crossing had its fault, it still had its charms. It was still Animal Crossing. It was just, you know, they maybe went a little too far. I don't know. It
didn't have a great hook to keep you coming back. There was really no evolution in the gameplay.
Yeah.
And there was really no reason to spend money on it. Like Fire Emblem Heroes, it's not good. The ore prices are way too high, but there's a reason why. Like the main reason to play the game is for the characters, and you need orbs to get characters. Like Animal Crossing, I could definitely wait for a day before this tent comes up.
Yeah. So, but I definitely am intrigued to see, what comes next. But that's the question: what is going to come next? And I remember us doing I think it was like a Game Maker segment about what we would like to see as the next mobile title. And I remember saying a Paper Mario game, like a pure RPG Paper Mario would. Honestly, I think work in the handheld setting because all you have to do is pull a Fire Emblem Heroes and like pay for the chapters, obviously like a one-time thing, and then a load-in chapter style like Heroes does, and then you could still have a complete experience over the say the course of a year or so. I don't know, but I think a pinball game could be good, but again, it'd be the context of how they would do it, how would they make money off of it.
How about this? This is a good idea. I'm surprised this isn't a thing. Mario Tower Defense game in the line of Clash of Clans, but you're using like Goombas and you're using Boos and you're using Koopas as your hoops. I could see that taking off because that's got brand recognition. You know how big Clash of Clans is. I think if you put a Nintendo paint on that, I think that's free money.
I mean, tower defense games has always been kind of the thing on mobile games.
Yeah.
Also, like with like Plants vs. Zombies, sure. Oh, yeah, I think that could possibly work.
Let's put a twist on that. Bowser Tower Defense.
Oh man, that would be awesome.
Because think about it, why would Mario need to use Koopas and Goombas and such? Bowser would use Koopas and Goombas and such, and then he could have like a power meter that the longer you go in a round, he'll gain like a special ability, like him using his fire breath or a mega slam
Yeah,
or.
like Bowser jumps onto the fray
Yeah, like he
if
could
you
do like a seismic ground pound that wipes out all enemies in an area, but you have to wait for like a certain charge.
And I don't
So.
know how Clash of Clans makes money, but I know it makes hand over fist, so I am sure that that would work. I'm surprised that that's not a thing, to be
Yeah.
honest. I bet you that becomes a thing.
Well, I mean, if we all worked at Nintendo, we could
Yeah.
obviously just pitch it, so. Yeah. See, that's the thing, is that there are. I actually really like the Bowser Tower Defense idea.
Yeah, that's good. That is a good idea.
But we should. I was gonna say we should write like a design doc and send it to Nintendo. Hire us, Nintendo. Oh my gosh. But there is potential to make it work, and some of these ideas honestly are really simple. It's just for whatever reason, Nintendo is either not having a lot of people work on these games or they're having delays. It's very curious because. They honestly did well in 2017 with by releasing Fire Emblem at the beginning and then Pocket Camp at the end. And then yes, they had Dragalia Lost, and hey, Dragalia did really good. Okay, in context of how what it was really good. So props to them, but that was a third party game under their name. So they need something first party, and they need to have it soon.
Well, let's close this out with a question. This time next year, well, let's say at the start of 2020, do you think we'll look at Nintendo's mobile initiative and think, wow, they're in a better spot than they were in 2019, or in a worse spot, or the same?
I think they'll be about the same because let's just say they do the Mario Kart thing, and then maybe let's just put your Metroid pinball idea at the bottom. I don't think either one, even with the greatness of Mario Kart, will surpass what Heroes has done.
Right.
And so, I mean, it could. I mean, it just depends on how they monetize it, like cosmetic bikes and everything. But I just don't think it'll be as popular. And if it's not as popular, then they're basically in the same spot because they have potential to do greater, but will they? That's the question. And I don't know if they'll. Yeah.
And given to the success of Fire Emblem Heroes, I mean, and that thing is making bank for Nintendo, so that's kind of like their own biggest competition right now. Yes.
All right. Well, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment
Hey, wait,
Podcast.
I didn't get to say what I thought. I think they're gonna be I think they're gonna be a little
Tyler, what
worse
do you
off.
think about this subject? Do please tell us.
Well, thank you. I think they're actually going to be a little worse off because I do expect Mario Kart Tour to come out this year, and I don't expect it to do well. And I think when Mario Kart doesn't do well, they're going to be like, yikes. And that will shake their confidence in the mobile space. I just don't think Mario Kart is a good fit, to be honest, and I think it will not hit their expectations.
Well, we'll find out. And now, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast!
Yes, last week we asked you what you thought of Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse. What did you guys think of it? I'm just kidding. We asked you, when do you think we will get the first direct of 2019? 11% of you said within the week. You were wrong.
Yep.
45% of you said by the end of January. Remains to be seen. Yep. 30% said February, and 14% said March or later. Raise your hand if you said March or later, because I almost didn't even put that choice in. We are definitely getting a Nintendo Direct before March, and I will
know.
Give you $100 if we don't, each one of you who voted.
Oh my gosh. Is it wrong to now not want a Nintendo podcast or direct?
No, you voted for by the end of January. You
I did.
This. You...
I did. Yeah. I did. And Tyler, please tell the people how many votes we had.
Yes, 196 votes. You people love to search hashtag Nintendo Direct.
Yes, you do. Oh my gosh. I mean, we're totally going to just spam the Nintendo Direct hashtag now and just say every time we post something, Nintendo Direct, doesn't matter if it's really related to it or not. 196 votes. That is our best all time. So thank you all for voting. And I hope that by the time next the podcast comes around, we do have a sign, a signal, something about Nintendo Direct. So let us hope. All right. So in a similar vein to what we just did, our next poll question is, when will the first Nintendo mobile game of 2019 release?
Ooh.
Choice A, February to March. Choice B, April to June. Choice C, July to September. Or choice D, October to December. And I really hope none of you vote October to December. But you never know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's less crazy than the Nintendo Direct, to be honest.
Yeah. All right, well, we look forward to hearing your thoughts on this. And, of course, let us know what you think about the latest Switch numbers. Were you one of the ones who bought a Nintendo Switch in the U.S. in December? Do let us know. What did you think about the indie games highlights? Are there ones that you're looking forward to? What do you think about the Nintendo, the Fire Emblem banners of late with the hostile springs? Do you think it's okay? Do you think it's bad? Do let us know. And again, when do you think we're going to get that next, the Nintendo Direct? Because we're running out of January, people. We're running out of time. So we look forward to hearing from you, and we look forward to talking with you next week. So, Tellius Tyler and Wario Will. I am Triforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.